Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have James Ellett on the show. James is the pizza genius behind Pinky's. James is the pizza genius behind Pinky's Pizza, my favorite place to get pizza in town right now. We're going to be talking about all the mechanics and minutiae of the world of pizza, including dough, pizza ovens, crisp, whether flop is a big deal or not, and a lot more. I know you'll love this episode, particularly if you love pizza. Let's go meet James, and Baker will take us there.
Blessed to infiltrate the pod waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best! Fresno's best!
James, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
A premium Mayor.
I interviewed someone on this morning, and they said the same thing. What's your order?
Yeah, my order is 4 adobada tacos.
Okay.
With everything.
And my understanding of adobada is similar to al pastor, right? Or is it the same thing? Is it a different word for the same thing?
Yeah, I think so. No, it's definitely not the same thing.
Okay.
But I'm not sure of the difference. They don't have al pastor, though.
Yeah.
A premium.
So they don't?
Just, no.
Okay.
So it's just the adobada.
Okay. And what makes them distinct compared to other taquerias that you like? There's a lot of taquerias. You can wander around and find a lot. But
yep.
What do you like about it in particular?
It's so much flavor. Like the concentration of the flavor in the meat is just fantastic. And I haven't... Yeah, there's not the equal to it that I've had yet.
Yeah. What about a dinner spot in town? Where would you go for dinner?
The dinner spot? I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it, and it's Annex.
Yeah.
Because it's so close, like it's just around the corner from us.
Yeah.
And
I feel it's also frustrating to be predictable.
Yeah.
But it's what it is.
It's just a very basic answer, but
Do you order pizza when you go there?
No.
Okay. What do you order?
We order as many appetizers as we can eat.
Yeah.
Arancini's
on arancini's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Arancini's, burrata, whatever kind of Brussels sprout action they've got going on, cauliflower.
Yeah. My wife orders the same thing every time. She gets fusilli every time, which I'm cool with.
Yeah.
I like to kind of navigate around the menu. I wish there was maybe a slight more kind of additions to the menu. They've kind of hit their stride and it's similar.
Yep.
And everything hits maybe a new thing periodically.
Yeah. The corn.
Oh, corn agnolotti.
That.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah. For sure.
That's worth opening a restaurant just for that. It's so good.
So we're going to talk about a bunch of things. I want to start with kind of a generic topic, which is hobbies. You have a hobby.
Yep.
What defines a good hobby?
Something where there's limitless potential to spend disposable income and rabbit holes to go
black
down.
Black holes or rabbit holes.
There should be a subreddit dedicated to it, preferably multiple.
Are there bad hobbies?
Are there bad hobbies?
Because someone might say what you just described was a bad hobby, the limitlessness of it.
That might depend on the person rather than the hobby.
Yeah.
I don't think there are bad hobbies, just bad hobbyists.
Yeah. Maybe bad habits, not bad hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, and I've encountered some people whose hobbies kind of correlate with their work life. My hobbies are related to education. And some people's hobbies are just like in a totally different domain. It's a relief. Do you think hobbies should be like a break from your kind of work life, or do you think it just depends on the person?
I think it definitely depends on the person. For me, they tend to go in the opposite direction from what I'm doing.
Okay. So it's a relief hobby as opposed to something that's like a expansion of what you do in your work life.
Yeah. It brings sort of balance. It feels like it brings balance to my life and my brain and spending time thinking about things in a different way or a different paradigm.
And I guess this is my last question about hobbies. Should they prioritize growth, or should they just be hedonic? I'm just doing this for pleasure. I don't care. Some people's hobbies so quickly turn into something that they either want to like broadcast. There's a person I know that's really into Legos, and now he has a Lego like YouTube channel, and now he's monetizing it, and it almost feels like the pleasure is gone, and it's just become another business or another thing. So how do you think about return ROI versus just pleasure from the hobby?
I definitely prioritize the pleasure from the hobby. I've had this thought about multiple, hobbies that I've had, and like people will ask, are you interested in making this your main gig or monetizing or anything? And I have this.
So you get that question a lot.
Not a lot, occasionally.
What do you think when you get that question?
I think alarm bells start going off in my brain.
Like, for you or for the person asking it?
For me.
Okay.
I think it's a totally valid question and perfectly appropriate, but.
Do you think it's an American thing? Like we're like, oh, you couldn't be doing something unless that there's money involved at some point?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
So where do you think you exist on, if it's a spectrum from pleasure to profit, where do you exist in that realm?
I'd say 2/3 pleasure, 1/3 profit.
Yeah. Yeah. So enough profit to make it make sense, but pleasure is the goal for you in the task.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the hobby, which is what we're going to talk about forever, which is pizza.
Yeah.
Is there a limit to what we can refer to as pizza? Let me give you an example. Let's say I baked a loaf of sourdough bread and I poured ketchup on top and then took a string cheese and shredded it and then just put it on top and then served it as pizza. Have I committed a faux pas there, or is that because there's some kind of dough, there's some kind of sauce, and there's some kind of cheese? Is that pizza?
I would say that's not pizza.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it missing?
I'm going to back me into a corner. Because I was going to say...
Does it have to be baked maybe with all the ingredients together? Is that maybe the thing? Because sometimes you'll see people like dump some ricotta on top or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That gets tricky too though. Because a lot of pizza styles are par-baked. So then... is that a slippery slope? If French bread is pizza, is Detroit style then...
You're good.
Ooh. Is Detroit style a pizza?
Yeah. So just define pizza then. Let's start with a definition. What is it for you? Not the universal definition, but how do you define it?
Yeah. For me, I would say it is essentially a flatbread that has some combination of toppings, usually a tomato sauce and a cheese with various other toppings. But the tomato sauce and the I don't know if the cheese is negotiable, but the tomato sauce is.
Yeah. Who are your pizza icons? Who are your North Stars? Who do you like look at and go, I want to be a pizza guy like that person?
Yeah, I'd say it's really distributed, but a guy that I keep going back to is Ken Forkish, who wrote Flour, Water, Salt, Yeast, also Elements of Pizza. I like a lot of how he just writes about dough. Like we're talking about, most of 90% of how I think about pizza is just thinking about dough.
Okay.
And how to make it, how to improve it. And I really like the way he communicates about pizza and how he thinks about it and his sort of, he's a former Silicon Valley person.
Yeah.
And he brings a more like engineer kind of tech mindedness to it, but he's also not chained to that like a lot of people can be.
What do you think the most interesting pizza that's being made right now is? Who's doing interesting things? What are interesting styles where you see the most innovation?
Let's see. I'd say certainly like the panned pizzas are having a big moment right now. So anything from like Sicilian, grandma pies, Detroit style pizza, stuff like that, it feels like the bleeding edge right now. And it's interesting. I haven't really dabbled in it yet, but I may. But that to me is cool. It's like a different style of pizza that people are still exploring. People don't really know what it is, especially on the West Coast. I feel like there's still a lot of room to grow there.
Okay. Let's say I give you a round trip ticket, an option between two places. I'll send you to Naples for a week or I'll send you to Manhattan for a week. Where do you want to go to eat pizza for a week?
Manhattan.
Okay.
Yep.
Why Manhattan and why not Naples?
I vastly prefer the New York inspired pizza, the New York style of pizza. I think Neapolitan is great, but everything about the New York slice, I think, appeals to me. And it's just, I came to that realization fairly recently as I was determining what kind of pizza I like to make. And I just kept making all of these decisions. And then I ended up realizing like, oh, this is New York. I'm trying to make a New York pizza.
Is deep dish pizza? Or is that more of a pie? Is it a cheese pie?
That's like a, I'd say like a pie casserole-ish thing. I love it.
I love it too.
We lived in Chicago for a time and we survived a lot on...
How many slices of deep dish should a person eat in a sitting?
One. I would say one.
One.
One, and then that's your lunch every day for that week.
That's appropriate. I had a roommate in grad school, neighbor rather, and he was from Chicago, and his parents would mail him a deep dish pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And it would arrive, and it was like just this ordeal where you just have everybody, on. It's here, it's arrived. And it was amazing. But like you said, I don't know if I finished a slice.
Yeah.
It's so much cheese.
It's so much cheese. And I think now, going back to it, like 10 years later or whatever, I think I would be even less able to eat even a slice.
Honestly, the best part about it, I feel, is just the crust.
Yeah,
the crust. Just that kind of, I don't like, what is that crust in deep dish? Because it's different, right? It's like kind of crumbly.
I think it's essentially a pie crust.
It's essentially, okay.
I think so. I have
Well,
no
that's
idea.
The nail in the coffin of it just being pie and not pizza then, right?
Yeah.
It's just a pie crust and
just
a big thick layer of cheese.
It's fully crossed over.
All right, let's get into the science of pizza now. Let's talk about measurement tools. How precise do you need to be? Gram? Something below a gram?
Depends on the ingredient. For yeast, I go to the hundredth of a gram.
Okay.
Mostly for like smaller bakes, because I'm with the yeast percentages I use, I'll do the most recent, like the pizza we ate tonight, is 0.032% yeast of flour weight. So that ends up being like 0.33 grams of yeast. So you need a very precise scale for that. Everything else down to the gram is fine.
What do you think of someone that didn't measure and just felt it?
Yeah, I think I have a lot of admiration for that. And that's like a goal to get to. But although also, if you're measuring 0.33 grams, like you can't. I maintain that it's impossible to feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you explain what hydration is when people talk about that?
Hydration is the amount of water that's in a dough as a proportion of the weight of flour. So for a batch of dough, if you use 1 kilogram of flour, then 680 grams is 68% hydration.
Okay. And how does that impact the product?
It tends to make it lighter, first of all. So
the more hydration, the lighter?
Yeah, so when it hits the oven, it gets a lot more oven spring just because there's a lot more water, which creates more steam, which puffs everything up a lot more. So like a loaf of bread in the oven that blows up, pizza does the same thing. So the more water there is, the more it puffs up, the more airy the crust, the more like generally lighter. It also tends to help maintain or help create crispness in the crust. And it also encourages yeast activity. So the fermentation is more vigorous.
Okay. And how does someone choose a hydration ratio? Is that just something, I'm sure you start with some recipes and then you kind of fine tune, but like, how did you choose maybe?
I started relatively low hydration, around like 60%. So like something like Neapolitan is generally around 60 to 65%. Those are usually like beginner friendly recipes because the dough is just less wet. So it's easier to work with, it's easier to hold, it's easier to shape. But there is this siren song to increase the water because of all the benefits, like the textural benefits and the flavor benefits you get.
How do you deal with a super soggy dough in a pizza oven? My sister-in-law was trying out gluten-free dough recipe.
Ooh.
And she basically made some soup and was like, put that in your pizza oven. And there was fire. I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with a really wet dough in a pizza oven?
Boy, something like that, like a gluten-free one. I have made a fair number of gluten-free pizzas, and those you've got to par bake in a home oven. I never try those in an outdoor oven.
Yeah.
Just because I think getting it off of a peel would be way too much of an ordeal. So yeah, I put the blob of dough on a cookie sheet or something and smush it into a circle. And then you par bake it for the better part of an hour, like 45 minutes, to dry it all out, crisp it. And then you take it out, let it cool, top it back in for five.
Okay.
But for a standard dough, it really is all about the semolina flour. Like once it's risen and shaped and ready to shape, or once it's risen and shaped and ready to cook, you just got to coat it in semolina so that it glides across your peel. Use a wooden peel. That tends to be easier to transfer the crust.
How important is your water quality? I've read some things where like high mineral content can affect flavor, but also affect the quality of the dough. Do you think about the quality of the water, or is that something that maybe is just such a like in the weeds detail that it's not really that significant for the product?
Yeah, I don't think about it. I don't think it's necessarily worth thinking about. I've done it with tap water. I've done it with purified water, distilled water, et cetera. I can't tell a difference ever. Okay.
So let's say you're at Whole Foods and you're looking at flour in the aisle. And how much variation do you think there's going to be between flours that you would buy in terms of the quality of the flour? And is there a specific kind that you lean towards?
Yeah, there's a lot of variation. First of all, what I look for is the protein content or the gluten content. Like I use a high gluten flour, so I don't use all purpose. It's going to be more what's usually labeled like a bread flour, which is generally in like the 13 to 14% protein content.
Isn't there some kind called double zero as well? Or is that?
Yeah, there's double zero, which
is that more for Neapolitan style pizza?
Yeah, that's referring to more how it's ground.
Okay.
So it's ground very fine. And I think it has slightly more protein than all purpose. That's designed for Neapolitan. So that's designed for cooking at 900 degrees.
Okay.
So like in a home oven, double zero, in my opinion, you don't need to worry about it.
Okay. So you look for the protein content. Are there specific brands where you trust the quality more of their processing?
Yeah. King Arthur is always super solid. I tend to also use Central Milling. They have a great range of products. And recently I switched over to using Shepherd's Grain flour, which they grow. It's a farmer's co-op in the Pacific Northwest. They're using all like regenerative farming practices, et cetera.
So let's say I go to Food for Less and buy a big dumpster of flour from their flour section. Mm-hmm. And I pour some out on the counter and then I pour some King Arthur out on the counter. Am I going to see or notice anything? Or is it actually through the processing that I'll see the quality difference?
You may. If it's bleached,
yeah,
it's going to be like obviously very white. Whereas for something like a King Arthur or one of the other brands I mentioned is going to be a little more off-white. Other than that, you probably won't be able to tell much of a difference.
Okay, what about after I cook with it? Will I notice a difference?
Tough to say. I don't know. I've been using good quality flour for so long. I don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
If you used...
It may be interesting to do a side-by-side.
Yeah.
Just with the dumpster flour versus the King Arthur flour.
Should I just go take a bucket over to Food for Less and stop spending so much? But also, like the Shepherd's Grain flour that I get is... It's not expensive to get good flour. That's a 50-pound bag, and it's $30.
Oh, that's reasonable.
So many pizzas.
Wow. Yeah. Do you sift your flour?
No.
Why not?
Because I weigh it.
Okay.
Yeah, with the sifting, you just need... That's only
sifting is just for getting the volume, right?
Volumetric measurements.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. There is no additional quality if you sift it in terms of... So I did understand that there was something about smoothing it out, but maybe I read that wrong.
I don't think so. Not that I've ever heard or experienced.
Okay. Are there alternative flours that you have used to make pizza? Have you dabbled with spelt or any of that ilk?
No, I haven't. There's...
What have you heard about using alternative version or alternative forms of flour?
Yeah, I've heard that it can really bring an extra element of flavor, like interesting like flavor dimensions, which I'm super interested in exploring. But for me, the most experimenting I've done is blending some whole wheat, small amount of whole wheat with the bread flour. I'm thinking about maybe trying to introduce some semolina flour into the crust, but those, yeah, alternative grains I have not experimented with.
Are there downsides to machine mixing? Is hand better? Or is that just like a, not pearl clutching, that's just this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's more romantic to do it with hands.
I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, the past few days. I was talking with someone who does pizza down in LA, and he and I were discussing how we will throw together a batch of dough, like a small batch of dough for testing or whatever, and we mix it by hand, and we'll mix and knead it for 5 minutes and say, whenever it's good enough, let it rise, put it in the fridge, and it comes out great, like amazing. And we, for a fact, if you've just kneaded it for 5 minutes, you haven't developed nearly the gluten that you have if you've put it like in a spiral mixer for 10 or 15 minutes. And that's got me thinking about, it's a lot easier to over mix and over develop gluten in a spiral mixer. So I would say it's not an inherent evil of using machine mixing, but it's much easier to over mix and over knead and over develop dough, so it'll get just tougher, basically. Whereas with a hand mixing, it's basically impossible to over develop it.
I see. And so when you're doing it, when you're kneading, what am I looking for? I've kneaded a lot of dough for bread, much less for pizza. There's like the, whatever the window test is. There's like, how do you know, like, visually it's done?
Yeah. What I look for when I'm hand kneading dough is essentially for the dough to be smooth. That's all I really want to see. So that often, what I will do when I'm hand kneading dough is I'll mix it.
What's the smoothness indicate for you?
Like, just that everything
is thoroughly mixed.
Thoroughly mixed, and that the kind of gluten has calmed down and relaxed a little bit so as to start forming that like smooth net or web over the surface of the dough and also inside the dough. But yeah, doing an autolyse is really helpful for that, for doing the...
What is that?
That's when you mix essentially the flour and the water and let it sit and let the flour hydrate for 20 or 30 minutes or an hour, and then mix in the rest of your ingredients. That just helps to... helps the development of the dough go a little bit quicker. And then I will knead it for a few minutes. When it starts getting tough, I let it rest, come back and knead it for a few minutes, let it rest. And usually by the third time, it's gotten smooth, it's nice and supple. And when I window pane it, I want it to window pane a little bit for if I have a bit of dough. If I go 2 inches, it'll window pane. But then if I go much further, it'll tear. If you have it window painting like crazy, like you can stretch your arms out like 6 inches and it's still this sheet of dough with the light coming through, that to me indicates you may have overdone it.
Is that a bagel?
Yeah, maybe that's a bagel. Yeah, okay, maybe that needs to be repurposed.
Gotcha. What happens when you let dough sit for a couple of days after you've kneaded it and you're just, you know, sitting in the fridge in one of those plastic bins, those famous plastic bins?
Yep. So in the fridge, the yeast has slowed down significantly to almost nothing, unless you have just a ton of yeast in there. But there are various other little critters in the dough that are still running around. So there's enzymes in there that are like breaking down like the complex carbohydrates into simpler sugars. So there's essentially a lot of flavor development going on. There's also gluten development. There's the gluten continues to align and make the webs that you want for a good bread or a good pizza. So yeah, it's essentially a way of developing flavor without letting the fermentation get out of control.
Okay.
And it also helps you to just put a pause on the fermentation. If you're not going to use the dough for a few days, if it's cold, then your window of like ideal dough development is much bigger than if you're doing a room temperature ferment where you may have an hour to use it. In the fridge, you have a couple days.
Okay. We're going to jump into my favorite section, which is called overrated versus underrated. I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. Tell me whether you think they're over or underrated and why. I also have some either ors in here. So we'll start with an either or. White sauce or red sauce?
Red sauce.
Okay. Why?
I'm just a sucker for the freshness of the tomato. The freshness, the sweetness, like an uncooked red sauce with a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of salt, just like the simplicity is just beautiful.
Okay. Standard oven or brick?
standard.
Okay, why?
I tend to like lower bake temperature. So with a brick oven, especially if you have, if it's like a wood-fired brick oven, that sucker's getting real hot real fast. And what I bake at is much, much lower. And
you got to have a vigilance if you're using something like that.
Yeah, you got to be on it. You got to keep...
You're driving a Formula One car, if you will.
Right, yes. Yeah. You got to keep it away from that flame towards the opening.
Okay. Would you rather order a pizza at a bowling alley or a bar?
Bar, especially if there's like a tavern-style pizza happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the move.
Yeah. Is there any bars in Fresno that serve tavern-style pizza?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that needs to be remedied.
There really should be.
Okay, next one. One near and dear to your heart. Dave Portnoy's pizza reviews. Are these over or underrated?
Overrated.
Okay. Nice. All right, I'm ready for it. Give us the sermon. Give us the monologue. Why should we ignore Dave? He's the most famous pizza person in the world right now.
Yeah. Okay, so I would say, first of all, he likes one type of pizza. He likes like a New Haven style pizza.
Which is, it's crunchy.
Yeah.
It's, I've never had it before. Burned. So I don't, I know what it looks like because I've seen him do reviews of it, but I don't actually know what it tastes like, how different it would be from a New York slice, for example.
Yeah. I know I haven't had it either. I know it's supposed to be cooked in a coal oven and it tends to be cooked what is referred to as a hard bake. Some would say burned. It's baked through and it's very crispy and it generally doesn't have the dreaded flop, which that's my other beef, is he has convinced a generation of people that if a pizza flops, it is bad pizza.
Yeah.
Whereas like a Neapolitan pie, like that's the whole, it's going to flop. That's the style. Yeah. So I would say he's given a lot of, I guess, markers for what is bad pizza that is not accurate.
I think my favorite review that I watched, he did a review at a casino and he did it with Guy Fieri.
Okay. Underrated.
Guy is definitely underrated. Guy loves Neapolitan and usually Dave is, he's got an aggressive kind of approach, but he was so intimidated by Guy's culinary knowledge that he withered away into the background. And Guy talked about Neapolitan and how it's perfection. And Dave didn't say a word.
Yeah.
And so I think he's like a very loud amateur.
Yeah.
Who doesn't, I don't think he has a lot of really knowledge about pizza. I think it's just, he just eats a lot of it, which he gives you some knowledge over time, but it's not, you're not a, he's not a chef or a culinary person or a food critic necessarily.
Yeah. He's eaten way more pizza than I've ever eaten for sure.
Yeah.
But his word is not gospel.
Yeah.
And also he's
that amount of pizza. I wonder what the lifespan on someone that consumes that much pizza is. It's probably not long. Next one, sourdough pizza.
Overrated.
Okay. Why? Isn't sourdough make everything better?
Yeah. I guess there's a couple things. For me, so on the taste side, eating sourdough pizza, I just don't enjoy the flavor of it. I like my bread to be sour, but pizza, I don't want it to be sour. I just feel like it throws off the balance of flavors, which is a bummer because I would love to make sourdough pizza and have it be naturally fermented. Like it's a great buzzword and I love making sourdough bread. And also it's just it's more finicky to manage like the fermentation of it. It all depends on the health of your starter and you have to feed the levain and then incorporate that. And there's just a lot more variables. Whereas commercial yeast, a lot of those are controlled for, which is great.
Okay. You're in a small town in the middle of nowhere. You've had a couple beers and you look up pizza on your phone and your options are Little Caesars or Domino's. Who are you ordering from?
Domino's.
Okay.
For sure.
No, no pizza pizza?
No pizza. They're like in the basement, man.
Little Caesars, I don't understand. Do you have any sense with your pizza knowledge why their pizza deteriorates so fast? It just like, because I used to take kids when I was still teaching to speech and debate tournaments, and my boss would give me some money to get them lunch and they all wanted Little Caesars. And so I would go and get some of those ready bake, whatever they called
it. Hot and readies.
Hot and ready. Yep. And I would open them up for them and they would just like hyenas for an antelope that's been half eaten, just go crazy. And I'd come back and there were like two or three slices left, and it was maybe like 7 to 8 minutes. They were already done. Like you couldn't, they were inedible. Like they had transformed to cardboard, and it only took 7 to 8 minutes. So I don't know what's going on with that. Is it just like highly processed food that they're just reheating? What do you think's going on there?
In that time frame, that's tough. I definitely do think the window, and in my experience in high school, it was with some guys and it was gone in 5 minutes. Yeah. Boy, yeah. I don't know.
Why do you prefer Domino's? Let's go back there.
I think their flavors are not bad. They did like that whole that whole new menu recipe development. How long ago was that? That was like 2015.
Yeah, it seems to be rebranding regularly.
Something like that. Yeah. The pizza is unoffensive to me. I did not grow up eating Little Caesars. Domino's was much more common. So it's probably a nostalgia thing as well.
Okay.
Also, their app is second to none. Their ordering app is amazing.
I've never actually ordered with the app. What makes it amazing?
Designing your pizza, customizing it is extremely intuitive. It's great. And then you order it and then it gives you status updates. Jacob, put your pizza in the oven and you can watch your pizza being made. And there's a name of the staff member.
I'm just picturing a bunch of guys on a Friday night. There's a bunch of edibles and they're just staring at the app watching every movement.
Or it's projected on the screen or something. Yeah. And you get points and you earn free pies. And it's also just around the corner from me. So it gets here.
Now you've enticed me. Yeah. Next one, ranch on pizza. This is a Fresno thing. I had ranch with pizza before, but now that I'm here, it's just everywhere.
Is it a Fresno thing?
Maybe.
Well, I grew up in Merced. Maybe it's a Valley thing.
Okay. Yeah, that could be.
Underrated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why does pizza need sauce?
It doesn't need it, but why not? It's just,
there's just a bonus.
Yeah, the balance, especially if it's good ranch, which is missing. Like usually people are doing the Hidden Valley thing.
Oh, Hidden Valley's awful.
Yeah.
It's kind of like buying hummus from the store where it's just like a brick of bean paste.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is like the thing that I want. But I will say, let me just go ahead and ask you, do you think Mionette's is over or underrated?
Overrated.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about their ranch? They do have decent ranch.
I don't think I have an opinion. I don't think I've had their ranch. Okay.
Why is their pizza overrated?
That crust is...
The cracker crust?
No, I'm not into it. I can't do it. It ruins like the toppings and whatnot.
What are they doing to make that crust? What do you think's happening?
I have thought about it. I don't know. It's laminated.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
Just in there with phyllo dough. Just
yeah.
It's very confusing.
Because I've made a lot of like thin and crispy pies, like more like tavern style. If it was like a tavern style, I would change my tune, but it's not that. It seems to be some kind of proprietary Mionette's style. I don't know.
Yeah. We need to see the state secret.
Yeah.
Detroit or Roman style?
Roman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ricotta on top of pizza?
Yes.
Over underrated?
Yeah. As long as it is.
How much? Sometimes they get aggressive with
sparing.
It. Sparing.
Definitely sparing. And in my opinion, best if it's whipped. Mm. So it's blended with a little bit of olive oil, some seasoning, then that really takes it to another level.
Okay. Would you rather eat a pizza in a sit-down restaurant or a slice shop?
Slice shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best kind of beer to have with pizza?
I think lager.
Yeah. Probably. Kind of like light German beer almost.
I'm not interested in trying to slug down a double IPA with a pie.
No. It's too much.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most iconic pizza movie?
Oh,
is there a good pizza movie that comes to mind? For me,
it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, yeah.
Secret of the Ooze. That opening scene.
Yeah.
That's just all about pizza. It's incredible.
Yeah. I go with Home Alone. Just Kevin and his cheese.
The cheese pie.
Yeah.
For sure.
If you looked at it, they were in Chicago. It wasn't a deep dish. It wasn't a tavern style. It was a pretty traditional pizza.
Yeah.
Maybe I wonder if that preceded. But deep dish has been around for a while, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In any case, let's go back to talking about a few more things about pizza. Mm-hmm. What flavor do you want your sauce to be? Like your red sauce, like there's a spectrum between tanginess and a little bit of softer sauce. Like where do you want your sauce to exist in?
Yeah, I would say definitely more fresh and tangy with a bit of sweetness, but that's only coming from the tomatoes. Like I never put sugar
Do people put sugar in? Really?
Yeah, some people do.
Yikes.
Some people like it sweeter. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I think of the chain, like I know, I think Papa John's, their sauce is so sweet. Mm. There's got to be sugar in there. But yeah, no, I want it to taste like really good tomatoes.
Okay. Do San Marzano tomatoes really matter? I know that's like a thing.
Nah.
Like people like go after that can, and there's the discussion about Vesuvius and the lava rocks and all.
Not when California exists. Yeah. California tomatoes are second to none.
Yeah, because it's, I feel like, I don't know if this is maybe just a kind of a general kind of theme to this conversation. There's like pizza, and then there's the stories we tell about pizza. And it feels like San Marzano tomatoes is like part of that narrative of there is a right way to do things, or there's a path you must follow. And I don't know if that's like people trying to control or people trying to like position themselves in a status game. Like you have to do X to be in part of this club. What do you think that is?
Yeah, I think it seems like a purity test of this, like the Italian. Obviously, it started there. No one's disputing that. And then there's this kind of, I think the official government designation kind of propels that. There's this governing body that says this is the proper way to make pizza. And then I think people defer a lot to that, kind of as that being the North Star. And like, you have to use San Marzano tomatoes and Neapolitan is the only proper way to do it. And it's just the de facto standard that anything like a New York style or a Detroit or whatever, there's like this gravity pulling back, like how far away is it from the proper pie? If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and it's pizza's out of control. Italy's not going to tell us what to do. And so this may be just their attempt at asserting themselves.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on white sauce? We talked about this earlier, but do you think there's any pizza where you'd prefer it? Because oftentimes it's kind of served like chicken. If chicken's on a pizza, you might see some white sauce. I'm trying to think of other kinds. I had a great white sauce pizza in Southern California that had sun-dried tomatoes on it, some ricotta, and some like kind of white sauce of some kind. That was really good. But
yeah,
generally I don't order it, but I do see it on menus.
Yeah, I think with certainly some flavor combinations, it would definitely be good. I think with like seafood, I know on the East Coast there's a big... They'll do a lot of like clam pies. I think those get...
That's a bridge too far for me. I don't need clams in my pies.
That's a New Haven thing. That's like a famous...
I mean, maybe some anchovies every once in a while on a pizza, but clams.
No.
That's a bridge too far.
I'm with you. But yeah. I think for me, probably... I can't remember the last time I've had like a white sauce pizza. I think it was from Fatty's in San Luis Obispo, if you've ever had that.
Yeah.
Less is more for that because it can quickly just overwhelm the whole pie with the richness of it all.
What about cheese? I've tried a lot of different cheeses. There's like the discussion about using bad cheese and getting oil that comes out of the cheese. You know, I just did a South of Shaw interview and he buys his cheese pre-shredded, but they're not coated with the starches and stuff that preserve it. And so he's got to use it really quickly. What do you use for cheese?
It's probably the same brand as they use because Grande cheese is the only one that I know of that sells pre-shredded without the anti-caking agents. And that's great stuff. I use the same cheese. I use Grande, but it's a loaf of low moisture whole milk mozzarella. And I shred or sometimes slice it before I'm going to make pizza. Okay. So it stays in loaf form. I'll put it in the freezer. It freezes great when it's like, it's still in the vacuum sealed wrap and it's still in the loaf. And then just thaw it and shred it up.
So if you get the pre-shredded, it starts to clump eventually, right?
It does. You can, I've never done this, but you can wash it.
Wash it.
You can wash
cheese.
Pre-shredded cheese and you'll wash off the starches and stuff.
Fascinating.
I've never done it.
I'm going to go home and wash some cheese. So let's go back to the ovens for a second. There's a lot of debate about ovens, both the fuel, but also the build, and then how they're made, whether it's bricks. Is it just heat at a certain point, or is there something that I'm missing there in terms of this heat? Obviously, if you have a different shape, that could change the way heat moves.
Yep.
But in terms of at the baseline, I'm just producing heat to cook something, right? Or is there, am I missing some variables there?
No, I agree. I think it's just heat. As if it's hot enough, it's going to cook. There's a big debate about like gas versus wood. And a lot of people swear by like the wood burning flavor on a pie.
Oh, okay. So you can get some flavor elements potentially?
People say that. I don't buy it.
Yeah, because like I will smoke meat and... Yeah, you can get that because you're doing offset cooking, and so it's indirect heat. And
for
so
hours.
And you get smoke just imbuing the meat with flavor.
Yeah.
How long are your pizzas in the oven?
My pizzas are in for a little bit longer. They're probably around 3 to 5 minutes.
There's just no way that
flavor and a Neapolitan is in there for 60 to 90 seconds.
So is it just... The people saying that they're getting wood flavor, are they just pulling your leg or like,
Just like the San Marzano tomatoes. Like that's the proper way. Like that is the true and proper way to make a pizza.
Okay. Yeah. What about the shape of the oven? That does matter, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I think ideally it has like a domed top that'll trap the heat up there. Okay. And often towards the end of a bake, you can lift the pie up. It's called doming it. You lift it up into the dome where there's all this trapped heat. And it can help finish off the top of the pie.
Okay. What do you make of the market of at-home pizza ovens? I've got a little Uni. It's propane, but the market has exploded. There's so many options.
Yep.
Do you have any recommendations for people looking to buy one, like how to think about what to purchase?
Yeah. I am a big Gosney fan. That's what I use. I think their build quality and their design is... next level. I would say they're the premium choice on the block, but they have a lot of really reasonable options. Like they have a rock box that can do a lot of great like 12 inch pies. So I would say, but really with Uni's right there too. So going with one of those, I would say is your best bet. And then determining what kind of size pizza you want to make. Cause it sucks if you have a oven that you can only do 12 inches and you want to do a 14 inch pie or a 16 inch pie.
Yeah, my Uni's kind of small, so it's really limited.
So, yeah, doing that. And then your fuel, if you want to mess around with wood, go crazy. But my recommendation, just go for the propane. It's so much easier to maintain and manage.
What's the most difficult pizza to make for you? Like, where do you have to flex the most to make a pizza? This can be in the preparation or the actual cooking of the pizza.
Yeah. I would say for me still the most difficult style is doing like a tavern style.
Because you got to get really low hydration to get more crispy?
Not necessarily low hydration. It still is relatively high hydration actually, but it gets par baked, which that double baking, so you'll par bake it without the toppings, take it out, and then you bake it with the toppings on again is what... where you can get a lot of that crispness, but it's so thin. And if it were lower hydration, I would probably make my life easier, but it's really difficult for me to shape it. You use a rolling pin and I'm terrible at using a rolling pin. You dock it and I often will mangle it when I dock it. Just like the whole shaping process, I feel like I'm hanging on by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
Once it gets par baked, it's fine, but yeah, the whole shaping of it has got me stumped a lot of the time.
What if someone's listening and they're like, I don't have a pizza oven, but I've got an oven and I've got a pizza stone. Are they going to get okay pizza if they just go and jack their oven up to 500 and put in a pizza stone?
They will get okay pizza if they have a stone. They will get really good pizza if they get a baking steel.
Baking steel, okay.
Yeah. The baking steel is worth the hype. It doesn't have to be the brand because there's a brand that's like the baking steel.
Yeah.
But as long as you got a hunk of steel in there, the heat conductivity of it is so much higher. You get really good results, especially if you use it in conjunction like with a broiler to finish off the top. Yeah, you can get really good pizza out of a home oven these days.
Okay. Let's talk about the Pizza Hustle in Fresno to close up. Who are your customers?
My customers are a lot of friends that encouraged me to start making pizza and start selling it. Those are definitely my most loyal regular customers. And then it's sort of social media did its thing and it started branching out and it became...
So the people you don't know, what are they? Are they people that seek out interesting food experiences, foodie types? Is that more the kind of the genre?
Yeah. They're generally people that are aware of and following and partaking in the kind of like pop-up, like underground kind of food culture. Yeah, that's their vibe.
Okay. And do they have preferences when they show up? Or do, so when you look at what people order, you might look at what new people order, you might, what gets ordered first. What does that tell you about people's, Fresno's pizza preferences?
Fresno likes the kind of meat and potatoes, straight ahead pies.
Okay.
They, a lot of cheese, a lot of pepperoni. The Hawaiian that I make is actually very popular, which I was surprised about because the Hawaiian is different than a typical Hawaiian in every sense, but that one gets purchased a lot. The ones that have a little bit more maybe adventurous toppings, some people order them and I get real excited and I want to talk to them about it when they come, when they show up, and I thank them for ordering it.
Yeah, that's the chef having a special thing on the menu, and it's exciting. Yeah, absolutely. How are pizza box technologies these days?
Stagnant.
What would you want? Because it is said by many people, Dave included, that pizza box just changed the pizza. Is that kind of unavoidable in a certain way?
I think it is. I don't think there's going to be, I don't see a world where.
Because it's just steaming it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're trapping it. And as soon as it goes in the box, like you're on the clock. Like it's.
Yeah. It's becoming a bao bun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, I encourage people to stay and eat here because they can get like the real experience of it. But yeah, the boxes, like you can get the ones with the vents that can help. But the real problem is it's sitting on a flat surface and all that moisture on the bottom is steaming the bottom. So any sort of like crispness and whatever is just getting steamed out. There are pizza liners. I forget what they're called, but there's some kind of like plastic or some kind of cardboard maybe that has this ripple texture on them. And the idea is that the air can pass under the crust and it can preserve some of the crispness.
Is there something people can do when they get the pizza to their house, throw it in the oven or like kind of re-crisp, or is that going to dry it out?
You can. Yeah. You run the risk definitely of drying it out or just burning it, like burning the crust. But if it was someone, one of my customers, like I would happily, would I happily underbake it? I probably wouldn't because I can't control like the environment. I don't know how they're going to bake it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the best move that I have found is after the pizza has cooled and it's officially like leftover pizza, like chucking it in an air fryer for a little bit is.
And that's what I did when I got your tavern pizza. I put it right in the air fryer.
The tavern was, especially.
Oh yeah.
That's
perfect.
It might even be better.
Yeah.
After the second heat.
So where did Pinkies, the name, come from? And then you get some very distinctive graphics. So where'd the name come from and who did your art?
Yeah, so the Pinkies name came from an old nickname that I had. I worked at summer camp up in the Sierra Nevadas above Fresno for a few years.
The old Calvin Crest.
That's right. Yeah, shout out Calvin Crest. And I lived up there year round with a good friend of mine, Jeff, and also with Dustin. And I had a pink shirt. And I wore it occasionally and it was very pink and it was very loud and people started calling me Pinky and that's where it came from.
Fantastic. And who did the art?
The art was done by my father-in-law. My wife's father he ran an advertising agency in Orange County for a lot of years. He's a very talented artist, graphic artist. And he put all that together.
Wow.
Yeah. He's great.
Would scaling be worth it to you? I'm going to be that person that asks you.
Yeah.
Because it is a question, right? Like,
yep.
You're good at something. Like, it's always the question when you're good at something. Do you want to scale?
I think scaling some, yes, it would be. Like, doing more. Like, I really like the events that I do, like catering, like birthday parties, stuff like that. Getting that side of the business scaled up is really appealing to me. In terms of like brick and mortar, that kind of, that's when the alarm bells start going off, because that's when I feel like there's a high potential of just losing
Yeah. Right now it's working magic. For you, then you work for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the question.
Yeah. Scaling up some, yes. Going all the way, I don't know. I'm not sold.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the most underrated pizza on your menu?
I'm going to say, oh man.
Choosing between children is never easy.
Yeah, it's between two. I'll go with the mushroom and mortadella one. Yeah. It's just two ingredients that I think are polarizing and people don't really know what to make of it. Maybe people don't know what mortadella is or don't.
There's a lot of syllables in that word.
Yeah, a lot of two very long words. And maitake mushrooms too. I think maybe people, maybe they don't know what maitakes are. I don't know. My mortadella and mushroom for sure. It's my wife's favorite. It's up there for me. It's really good.
We always close this podcast in the same place with book recommendations. What are a few books you'd like to recommend to listeners? It could be pizza related or not.
Yeah, I'll do.
You already mentioned one. Say the one you mentioned before, because I also have it. The flour, water.
Oh yeah, flour, water, salt, yeast. That one is great. Is it great for getting started with baking? Like that started me off doing just a normal like Saturday white bread, all the way into sourdough and also pizza. He's got some pizza recipes in there. So that one, The Pizza Bible by Tony Gemignani, is a really good one. If you want to start making really good pizza, he's got it from start to finish. And then one book that I read recently that I really loved is a super fun, like fantasy adventure heist book, is The Lies of Locke Lamora.
Lies of, who's that by?
It's by Scott Lynch.
Okay.
That's great.
What's the premise?
It's this like low fantasy world. So it's not like wizards and dragons and stuff. Like it's very subdued, but it's basically like a heist. It's like a low fantasy Ocean's 11 kind of deal. It's really fun.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, so we've wet people's taste buds with this. So now we have to talk about ordering. So how do they get your pizza?
Okay.
Yeah. Because there is a little bit of I've learned about the race. There is a race to get your pizza. How do they get it? And what's the strategy to get it?
The best way to get in on it is signing up for text notifications on my Hot Plate. And Hot Plate is the ordering app. So hotplate.com/pinkiespizza. It's also linked in my Instagram profile at Pinkies Pizza Fresno. And yeah, signing up for those text notifications is the best way to do it. It'll shoot off a text when ordering is about to open. And yeah, just try to get in there. So the last drop sold out and it was like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was on the frustrating end of that. But there's something, it's the definition of desire. Things that are hard to get are more pleasurable when you get them.
Yeah.
I enjoy the chase, even though it's sad when you, yeah, because I remember the last drop, I got the text notification and I was in a meeting.
Yeah.
And I kept my phone by me and I was like, I'm going to remember. It's noon, right? There's some time that I had to remember to order by.
Yeah.
And I looked and it was like 10 minutes past and I was like, oh yeah, I'm fine. And then I just tap open and it's just the sold out just was staring right back at me.
Yeah. I'm exploring a different format drop too at a place called the Wine Bar, which is on Herndon and Marks. And I'm working with them to potentially do like a slice drop. So like you can buy two slices and a drink ticket for a pour of wine. And that one, obviously, there's a lot more to go around because each pizza will serve four people. So that might be a good way to get in on it too.
That's fantastic. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.